Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Voices for Change 2.0. We are really glad to have you with us today.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. It's definitely full-blown December out there this time around. And I'm in my happy place about it, but that's just me.
Yes, that is just you.
Thanks.
But I know we have so many friends that once Halloween starts, they just go absolutely nuts with the Halloween. And then, you know, the next step is Christmas, and they're just crazy about it. And me, I kind of have to slide in it slowly. You know, I have to kind of get myself ready for whatever's happening.
Yeah. It's, you have to kind of mellow into it sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
an acquired taste, I think.
Yeah.
Especially after, you know, you go through so many losses and everything, and you just kind of feel like, where am I going to go from here? What are we going to do? And, you know, we're trying to start different traditions with, you know, between the two of us. But I'm thinking maybe just no traditions. We'll just like wing it every year.
That's kind of been the MO anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
because as soon as we sit down and say, okay, we're going to do it this way all the time, and we never do it that way again.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. You know, like, a couple years ago, we got a really nice tree that it was neat. It was a smaller tree, but it was it could go multicolored or it could go white lights. It had a remote control. And you could switch it on the fly. And
I've wanted a white Christmas tree since I could crawl.
Yeah. So last year we got a white Christmas tree. So now we have two Christmas trees, and we'll probably put up the white one this year around again, like we did last year, but I would really love to put up that little one somewhere too. We just don't
really
have a place for it.
The cats will get to it. We can't do it.
Yeah, that's an issue.
The little one will go crazy, so.
This is true.
But before we go on to our guest, I just wanted to remind everyone that wasn't familiar. Next week, December 15th at 11 a.m., we are having our second annual Keep Talking Mental Health podcast. We'll be having Joe and myself, along with three other fantastic mental health advocates and some people that deal with some things that are pretty trying. And we're all going to sit down and we're all going to talk about grief and the holidays and, you know, medication changes and, you know, just all sorts of different things. So we'll be joined by Anjanette Page, Erica Memory, and Aubrey Good, which will be a really, really great show. We've got there three very powerful women, and we're really excited about it. So don't forget to tune in. It's a two-hour show. So it will be 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. So
yep.
Any questions, just find me on Twitter, and I'll fill you in.
Yes, and you know, if you have any questions for our guests when we have our show next week, by all means, message us, message back, or message myself, and we would be more than happy to pass them on in the show.
For sure.
It's a lot of fun. We did one of these last year, and you know, it's a really good time and a really informative time, and all three ladies are just a blast, and we're looking forward to getting them all on the line at the same time, and me.
And what?
And me.
Oh, of course, and you. You and your little harem.
Yeah, me and my little harem. So.
All right, so for today, we've got a great show in store for you. This is our guest's second appearance on our show, so he's creeping up behind Rudy as the people that have been on the most.
Yep.
Rudy and Sapphire Rain.
Yep.
But we're glad to have him. He is an advocate. And he's in the process of writing a book. He has his own podcast as well that he's here to talk a little bit about. And for the life of me, I can't remember how to pronounce it. It's kind of fancy, so we're going to have him pronounce it for me. At any rate, welcome to the show, James Prescott.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks for the welcome, and nice to be here, Rebecca and Joe.
Nice to have you back.
Yeah, and my podcast is called Poema, and it's spelt poem with an A on the end, by the way, just to clarify that. So write poem and then put an A on the end of it, and that's what my podcast is called. But it's great to be back on this show. It's always a privilege to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you back. How have you been? What's been going on with you?
Wow, how have I been? Crikey. I could spend hours talking about how have I been. Right now I'm in the process of moving house.
Oh, wow.
So I'm busy boxing lots of things up and, you know, dealing with solicitors and things. And so all of that's kind of happening. And I have to have that all done before Christmas. So it's a little bit stressful. Stressful as well. So it's kind of a stressful period, but I do know that it's going to be over soon. So, this year has been kind of, a strange year for me because my niece was born, which was amazing. But there's been a lot of stress as well. And yeah, so it's kind of been a up and down year. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. That's exciting. Moving sucks, but you know, it's always exciting to have a fresh start in a new place. It gives you a new perspective on life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, it's something I'm thinking about a lot is seasons of life and how seasons change and the importance of those changes and like shedding old skin and starting over in a way. I was talking to a friend of mine about the concept of regeneration and how in a sense you stay the same person in essence, but a lot of other things change, you know, where you live and some of the things you're interested in and maybe what you look like and how you dress and some of your interests, you know, little quirks, little things change, but you in essence stay the same. And I feel like that's happening me at the moment, and because the last 3 years have kind of been a big transformational period, which is really what the next book's going to be about, the book I'm going to talk to you about. So
how are you handling all of these changes with your mental health?
Well, there's a loaded question, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't hold any punches. It has been difficult, but I've been busy. I think one of the things I've noticed when you're busy, like I'm busy with work and then like I'm home and I'm busy packing and, you know, I've got so much going on that I don't almost have time to stop. So I'm kind of on the go. So I don't have time to kind of sit and reflect and kind of get and allow myself to feel my emotions. So I guess I've probably been quite stressed out, and I've only just noticed that recently, but I haven't kind of felt it because I've been so busy. And I think the time I started to deal with my mental health issues was when I actually stopped and reflected on what was really going on underneath. A couple of years ago, I took redundancy from my last job and had a year basically where I wasn't working. And it got to the point about a year ago where I was a week away from having to sell my flat and move out and live on a sofa, and like I had no money and no, like there was no job on the horizon. I'd had about 10 interviews where I'd come second and was getting really frustrated, and you know, but I had that time off and that allowed me to kind of meet with a spiritual director and who was also a therapist and a mindset coach and work on all of my mental health issues, which were largely triggered by a childhood trauma, which involved like alcoholism at home, parents being violent towards each other, me getting bullied at school, nothing ever getting done because my parents are too busy fighting each other. And they're getting caught in the middle of all that as a highly sensitive person and an introvert who already probably had anxiety of some kind. Of course, that does a lot of damage and leaves a lot of scars. And then my mum passed away a few years after that. So I had a lot of things that I hadn't dealt with. I just carried around for 20 years. And
yeah.
I dealt with the symptoms, you know, I'd had counselling and stuff like that, and I improved. But I always felt like there was, I hadn't dealt with the actual root of the problem. I hadn't dealt with the disease. I dealt with the symptoms of the disease, you know, like, although, yeah, the last 3 years have really been to me coming to terms with my past and other aspects of my identity that I held on to for too long that were controlling me, and actually learning to manage my mental illness. Learning how to, because I can't control getting triggered. I can't control, as a highly sensitive person, I can't control when I get triggered. I can't, you know, mm-hmm. someone who has anxiety, I can't control when that gets triggered. You know, or if I get into a low mood, I know that something's going to trigger me and send me into a low mood, I can't stop that trigger from having an impact. But I can, what I've learned how to do is learn how I can manage that, how I can manage my response to that so that I can choose to let these things control me or not.
Right.
Took a lot of mental gymnastics and unlearning
for
a
sure.
lot of things and learning a lot of new things. And I've had a mindset coach who's helped me to do that. And my spiritual director slash therapist has kind of helped me do that as well. And I've kind of got to a point where I'm managing it better. It's still there. It's always going to be there, and I still have days where I get really badly triggered and get really down, and really upset, and just want to be on my own. Don't want to be around anyone. You know, like, you want to give up on everything. I still have days like that. You know, but I'm not as bad as it was probably a year ago. A year ago, I was getting to the point of, like. I wasn't planning suicide, but I had suicidal ideation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was
yeah.
thinking about how I would do it if I did it. You know, I was picturing it in my head. Like, would it be so bad? You know, because I haven't got anything left anymore. You know, so I got to that point. I don't think I would get to that point again. Hopefully.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
But if I did, I think I would manage it better because I've kind of trained myself a little bit, but it's always going to be there. I don't think just by doing that kind of thing, you can't, and you have to learn to live with it. It's just how you live with it and how you manage it.
Yeah, you know, it's that, and that's the thing too, is especially when battling, you know, various mental health issues. You know, it's a journey. I mean, Beck and I have said it tons of times. It's a whole journey, and you grow and you learn how to adapt. And, you know, early on, you know, yeah, you want to throw in the towel. You're like, I have no hope. I have no way out of this. And then eventually you learn, you know, and like you said, you got some coaching and, you know, you sought help, and now you recognize when you're in those depths and, you know, you found your way through it. And that's inspiring because hopefully, you know, with you and what you do and with what we do, we're hoping to inspire our listeners and, you know, those who need the help, that it's okay to seek the help. And, you know, you need to learn to grow and figure out, you know, how to exist, you know. It's just, that's the biggest thing, is you're kind of left like, well, how am I going to survive this, you know? And you're kind of forced to think on your feet almost, and you know, you learn.
Yeah, I mean, the most difficult thing for me is realizing, you know, say today I'm in a really bad way and I'm very emotional and depressed. I have to try to remind myself that I'm leaps and bounds better than I was even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and it's hard to remember going through any of that now. It feels like it's been eons. And, you know, I know that I can handle things better and that my bouts of depression are shorter, which could be more medicine related than really my willpower, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But, and grief is just absolutely horrible. Just, you know, to be grieving and to be somebody who is, you know, suffers from social anxiety and or agoraphobia or, you know, these types of things that would keep you from seeking out the kind of help that you need is very hard. So I commend you for finding ways to get help for your situation.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy. I didn't realize I had a problem. You know, I thought I dealt with all my trauma stuff. I thought I think some part of me had convinced myself I was okay, even though another part of me was trying to tell me, you know, there's still stuff you haven't dealt with. You haven't dealt with the root of it, you know. And I always kind of got into a kind of routine of, you know, living with it. And but, you know, I hadn't dealt with the real problem. I hadn't confronted it, and it kind of burst out of me in a completely unexpected way. And I started, I was at this group, and I started talking about it for some reason. I don't remember what the group was talking about. I don't remember what topic was talking about. I don't know. But I remember sitting on a sofa and suddenly feeling like I was pinned to the sofa because all this stuff was just coming out, like, almost from my subconscious. Like, and it was coming out of my mouth. It was something was physically coming out of my body. It was like, yeah, this wound that had been there for ages was suddenly being opened up.
Yeah.
And I had to decide whether to go to that place and deal with that stuff, which would probably mean going to a darker place in the meantime, or I could just ignore it and go on with my life. And I knew that I had to go there, and I knew that what would happen if I did go there, I knew it would be darker. I knew I'd probably have a lower mood and more anxiety and be a bit more depressed and have some dark days. But I also knew that that was the only way I was going to confront this stuff, was actually facing up to, you know, the trauma that I went through and how it impacted me and who I was, rather than just pushing over it.
And you know what that is, James? That's courage. That's absolutely courage. Knowing that by confronting what you were going through was going to bring you to that dark place and having the strength of will to push through it, you know, just for your own best interest versus, you know, running on autopilot and shoving it down and everything. That's courage, my friend. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
You know, it's absolutely something to be proud of. It's hard, you know, and when you're dealing with emotional things, and I know this because I know that you're, a highly sensitive person. Rebecca's a highly sensitive person. You guys feel your emotions a lot stronger than maybe the next person does. Being able to confront things and push through it, that takes a strength that, you know, people that don't wrestle with mental illness, they don't understand that. You know, they don't understand that it's a battle just to wake up every day. You know?
Yeah.
To get out of bed and get one or two things done is, you know, it takes all day for me at times, you know, to actually get up and, you know, maybe I'll vacuum or clean part of the kitchen and then I'm just done. You know, then I got to go lie down and I can't seem to get out of this funk that I've been in for like a year now. So, I'm trying a new medications and things like that. And hopefully that's going to solve that problem. But where do you find inspiration when you're struggling?
Oh, that's a good question. Wow. I think I've got other friends who I've discovered a whole community online of people who struggle with mental illness.
Aren't they great?
And yeah, they are. Like you, both of you. And, I mean, like,
our Twitter
I didn't have that before, you know, and I think that started by me simply just like speaking out, like saying something on social media, like, this is what I'm going through, can you give me some prayer or support or whatever. And I connected with one person, Sarah Fader. I connected with her. She was the first person I connected with. And then from her, I connected with a whole bunch of other people, including yourself. And yeah, it was like suddenly I had all these people who were like, oh, it's okay. I can talk about this, and like I can experience this, and it's, and I'm, I don't feel like a weirdo or like or crazy or nutty or whatever, or like there's something wrong with me, you know, that or somehow deficient, you know, for going through this. That I actually had people who were going through the same. In fact, many who'd been through worse than what I was going through, and so that was a real support. And so I knew that when I was going through those periods, I could go onto social media and connect with those people, and just say that, listen, I'm having a bad day mentally, mental illness wise, like, you know, need some support, prayer, whatever, and I could get that. And in terms of inspiration, it's so difficult to say. I mean, I think there's films where I was sharing one on Instagram the other day where the story of the main character connects a lot with my story. Like the person being have you heard? I don't know if you've heard of that. It's a book and a film, and it's about a teenage boy who kind of gets bullied and stuff like that, and just had.
What's the name of it?
The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
We haven't seen it yet, but we're familiar with it.
Yeah, and yeah, the guy, he said he's had mental health problems because of some trauma that we don't find out about till the end, which is a lot worse than you actually realise. but he's also a writer. Like he loved books. And he's got this awesome English teacher who helps him get into writing and do more writing. And he meets these amazing friends who become a support network for him. And it's kind of, I resonate with him because I feel that's very much like him, that I had all that anxiety and stress and trauma when I was a teenager. I was always good at writing in English, you know, and I had a good English teacher. I didn't have the friends that he did, but nevertheless, when I see that, I can kind of like, oh, this is kind of this. I get that. I connect with him, you know.
Yeah.
Which is another good thing, you know. One thing that's really inspired me has been recording a lot of podcasts for my own podcast and for other people like you, and radio shows where I've been able to talk about mental illness and being highly sensitive and anxiety and how it impacts your life and how to deal with trauma. I've been able to share all of that and share my story with people and help people with my own, you know, using my own story, which I never planned on at all, you know. And I've contributed to like books. I reckon there was a book that came out recently called Whispers in the Pew, which was stories of mental illness in the church, and I wrote something for that. And it's a really great book, actually. Lots of different stories in there, how the church has dealt with mental illness in a bad way and in a good way, and how it can improve. And so I contributed to that. Well, I'd say creativity is kind of a way out for me, I guess. It's kind of writing has been really helpful, because writing this stuff out, you know, has been helpful. I've written tons of rough material in the last 3 years, because I thought, well, one day this might make it into a book, and also it's good to write it out anyway because it's quite therapeutic to write. So yeah, I just loads and loads of material that I've got to drop on fire, which will probably make its way into my book somehow. But it's kind of a reflection of where I was at that moment. It was actually, the purpose of writing was really to be therapeutic rather than to share it with anybody, because I haven't shared any of that with anybody yet, you know. So,
right.
Yeah.
That was thing too with her book was, you know, it was started out as a form of therapy for, you know, just trying to get these thoughts and feelings off of her chest and, you know, trying to find a voice, you know.
Yeah.
Hey James, we're gonna take a minute and take a quick break. We're gonna be listening to Fire to the Rain by Damian Escobar, and we will catch everybody on the other side of it. And when we come back, we're gonna talk more about your book and your podcast. Welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. She's Rebecca. Say hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
You didn't say hi, Rebecca.
That's okay.
That's all right. We have on the line with us a now two-time, yes, that's right, two-time guest on Voices for Change 2.0. Boom. It's James Prescott. How you doing, sir?
Hi. Yes. Good to be here. I'm enjoying this. Good fun. It's good. You guys are great.
It's always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks again for being on with us today and joining us all the way over in rain-soaked United Kingdom there.
So let's get started and talk a little bit about this book that you're working on.
Yes.
Yes.
You
it's
tell.
A book. It's going to be my story, basically. The last 3 years, kind of dealing with my trauma, what that did to me. The whole process, it was like this whole last 3 years has been a story of me kind of deconstructing and reconstructing not just my faith but my life. And kind of letting a lot of old things die, doing a lot of forgiveness, getting a lot of healing from the past, talking about it, working things through, as well as I almost lost everything I had a year ago when I lost my job. I took a big risk, you know, and I launched a book, which, although it did pretty well, it didn't do as well as I wanted it to. So it felt like a failure. So that was a big part of that experience as well. And there were all these experiences that happened, and all of them had an impact on my mental health. They all had an impact on my spiritual life as well. And my creative life. I mean, and basically I kind of dealt with a lot of my stuff in the past and let go of it and allowed it to die. Started to rebuild my life, started to begin again, you know. And in doing that, I faced up to a lot of the truth about myself that I'd ignored, including things about being highly sensitive, about having anxiety, possibly being on the autistic spectrum, which I haven't confirmed yet, but it's possible. And acknowledging what the past did to me and how I really felt. And also facing up to a lot of strongholds that I had and where my security was in money, you know, and in having a job and all of those things, and actually not having all that stripped away. And I literally was stripped down to kind of the bare bones of who I was, and then had to start again. And it was a really painful process, but it was also a really healing and transformative process. And so I kind of thought, okay, I want to share this story because I've met other people who are going through something similar. And people who have mental illness, or people who've gone through a kind of personal kind of deconstruction, reconstruction journey, and people who've had to deal with trauma, people who've had to let go of things or have had failures, and are kind of in the middle of that journey and not sure how to navigate it, or want some solidarity or some hope, you know. And I figure, you know, I want to write this story so that I can give that to people. I can use my story to inspire people, to encourage people, to give people solidarity, to people that are not alone, and maybe to create something that I could have used during the last 3 years, in a way. You know, I think I've learned a lot of lessons in the last 3 years, and I'm still figuring out what they are. But I know that I've learned a lot about who I am and what I believe, even, and what I care about, and the kind of person that I actually am. And yeah, so many different areas of my life, so many different beliefs, memories, all of that. I was confronted with them. It was like my whole life was deconstructed and reconstructed, and is being reconstructed. And that's kind of what the book's going to be about. You know, I'm still kind of finalizing things.
Right.
As to what, like, the arc of the book is, and like how we're gonna do it. But I think, you know, that's what it's going to be, you know. And I'm looking forward to working on it. Yeah.
What's the title, or is it one of the details that you're still sorting?
That's the things I'm still sorting. But although I'm thinking about something to do with regeneration or reconstructing my life, something around that, you know. And
okay.
Or kind of walking. So another idea I thought was underneath the clouds, because at the beginning of this process, I had a picture of me at the top of a mountain with God, and him telling me, like, I needed to go down to the valley underneath the clouds, where it was dark and I didn't know what was down there and where a lot of my demons were and stuff. And I had to go and face that, and that was the choice I had to make. So that's another possible title.
I like that one.
Yeah,
I kind of like that too. I'm quite fond of that, because it kind of feels like I actually wrote a blog post recently about part of my journey, which had a similar title and a similar theme. And I was like, this would be good for a book, you know? So that may be, it depends, you know, there's lots of different possibilities, but that's going to be the general theme of the book. And, you know, it's, I've got a lot of material for it already. It's just now the process of turning that into something. I don't know when that will come out, but I have got people who said they're going to publish it for me. So that's exciting as well.
Very cool. That is exciting. It sounds like it's going to be a good read, and you know,
we wish you all the best with it.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll be very inspirational, and you know, that's I think it's great. You know, I think it's absolutely great that you're getting it out there.
Yeah, and obviously, I'd love to come back and talk about it when it's done. You know.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
After 3 or 4 visits, you get a gold jacket.
I thought we made it 6.
Was it 6?
Yeah, because Rudy hasn't been on 6 yet. So. And we still got to we still have to pony up that jacket. So.
You know, like those really good golfers, they win that in the Masters, they get a yellow blazer. Well, we're thinking about having some made for our recurring guests.
Yep. They do the same thing with Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay, I'll refer to Saturday Night Live from now on.
Yeah, because that's more in our wheelhouse than golf.
I love Saturday Night Live. Oh, I love it. Really do.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to deal with than trying to figure out golf. That's
Isn't
for sure.
Tom Hanks the one who's been on there the most, or is it Steve Martin?
It's I think it's both of them.
Oh.
I think Hanks might have him edged out slightly, but Hanks has been on there a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, back on track here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we kind of diverged there, didn't we? Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Yes.
Yeah, my podcast, I've been doing it for about 3.5 years. When I started it, it was called Jane's Talks, because I couldn't think of another name, basically. And then I kind of changed it because I thought, I'd rather have a title which is not about me, but it's more about the kind of themes that I'm looking at in the podcast. So I found this word in scripture, which was poema, which is it's when there's a part in scripture which talks about us being God's workmanship, and so God's masterpiece. So it's like a word about identity, a word about creativity, a word about spirituality, and those are the kind of topics that I kind of cover in my show. So I thought, okay, I'll use that. So it's poema, like P-O-E-M-A. That's my podcast. And you know, I have a lot of guests on, and Beck has been on a couple of times. And I've had a lot of this year in particular, I've had a lot of guests coming on with talking about mental illness, talking about being highly sensitive, talking about mental illness in the church, because that's something that I care about. And that's kind of what I do, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah.
When is it on?
What, the podcast? Oh,
it
comes out every Wednesday, generally. There's a new one every Wednesday. I do it in seasons as well. So I kind of, in the summer, I normally take a break for a month or two. And then over like December, early January, I kind of take a break too. Because I have some space in between. And I don't want to feel obligated to do it all the time. I want to do it out of that kind of love of creating things. And because it puts a lot more pressure on me, you know, to have to come up with guests every single week. Or come up with an episode every single week. This way I can plan in advance, I can get some things done in advance, I can record quite a lot of episodes like almost in one go and be prepared, you know, and I can plan ahead. It doesn't take away from it, I think. I actually prefer it that way because it gives me some space as well to kind of rest creatively and to kind of get fresh inspiration. So That's so that's kind of, and it's like they're all on iTunes, they're all on Spotify, Stitcher, you know, they're all in these places. You can find it anywhere. There's 3 years worth of episodes. It's about 130 episodes up now, I think.
Huh.
So I've had some really great people on. It's been really great. You know, I've had mental health. I think I had Sarah Fader on. I had I've forgotten his name. I don't know, Billy Blank. But he's a really great mental health advocate. I've forgotten his name now. that's going to annoy me. Aaron Smith. he's been on, and these are mental health guys, big mental health advocates that I know. And Becca's been on, obviously. And I've had a lot of spiritual leaders and authors on as well, people like Rob Bell and Pete Rollins and other, you know, kind of more spiritual leaders. And I've had LGBT activists on as well, people like Vicky Beeching and Brandon Robertson, who do a lot of LGBT activism, because that's another cause that I'm passionate about. And,
cool.
And you're on the right network right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a... Blog Talk Radio Left of Straight is a is an LGBTQ
network.
Thank you. So we're very proud to be a part of it, and I'm glad that's something that you embrace as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've always been a big advocate for LGBTQ equality. I think it's something that I'm really passionate about. I'm not an LGBTQ person myself, but. But it's something that I really care about, and I think it's really important. And that's what I try to do on my show, is I have people on who represent causes that I believe in, and we talk about topics that are really important to me and I think I want to be an advocate for. You know, that's why I try and have a lot of women on, as well as not just white men. I don't want to have just white men on all the time. You know, one of the things I really want to work on is getting more Native people, more black people on, like, so it's not just white people, you know, because it's easy, because I'm more aware of white privilege than I ever have been, so I want to try and get different voices in there. That's not easy, it takes a lot of work, but it's, and it will take time, but it's something I want to do. Yeah,
diversity is a key thing for sure. You know, one thing that myself personally, I've come to realize as I've gotten older, and it shouldn't take aging to get older to realize this, and hopefully the younger generation is a lot quicker to the game than I am, but, you know, just realizing that, you know, we're all one people. You know, it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter what your color is, it doesn't matter what your sexual preference is, or anything. You know, we all bleed red, we all have the same organs inside, there is nothing that separates us that much. We're all of the same race, and you know what I mean, it's like we all have to realize that we have to come together and be one community and look out for each other and, you know, help others that are struggling when they can't help themselves, and being a comrade in arms for rights and equality. It's something I'm passionate about for sure. It's basically, we're all in this together, you know, nobody gets out alive, but, you know, we all got to hold each other's hand while we're at it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just a process, isn't it? It takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one little step at a time. That's kind of what advocacy is.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you when you decided to become, or when you...
Good question, babe.
Sorry, I missed that question.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was, when did you decide that you wanted to be an advocate?
That's the funny thing. I didn't sit down and make a conscious decision to, like, I'm going to be an advocate for this, that, and the other. I think it's just in my nature to be an advocate. I think it's just part of who I am. I when I get passionate about a cause, I want to talk about it and I want to spread awareness about it, and I want to talk and I want people to help people understand it better. You know, like, so like when I got passionate about gender equality and I got passionate about LGBT equality, and I started talking about it a lot in the stuff I was writing, in my on my podcast, on social media, because I believe in them. I believe it's really important to talk about those issues when you care about them. And like to, and I guess I've always had a kind of empathy with any kind of outsider group, because I've always felt like an outsider myself as well. I think that that helps. And the mental health thing was weird, because I think I stumbled into that because I started talking about it on my blog and on my podcast and on social media and connecting with people, and suddenly people wanted to talk to me about mental illness and like and share my story. And not an accident, but I really love that I get to do it, because I get to help other people who have been through what I've been through, or are going through what I went through, or worse even, you know. And I can actually make a positive impact, you know. And you know, that's quite a privilege, you know. And I'm kind of glad I didn't seek it out, because I think sometimes when we seek out to do things, our ego can be involved, get involved, and I wouldn't have wanted that with this, especially this. I just cared about it and just took a stand on it publicly, and then people started to connect and people started to listen, and that was really quite humbling, but privilege, you know, and a responsibility as well.
Yeah, it's when you feel passionate about a cause, regardless of the cause, it's almost like, you know, you become an advocate, not on your own conscious decision to do it, but it's a compulsion. You know, you need to talk about it. You know, you need to get the word out. You need to tell other people. I completely get that. You know, it's just this thing. You know, you're like, I have to tell people about this. You know. I get that.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. It's like, I have to talk about this. I have to. People need to know about this, and they need to understand it better. And this is really important, you know. And
So, what advice do you have for someone that is currently struggling or has been newly diagnosed? Do you have any words of wisdom for someone in that position?
I think it's really important to get support, like a therapist, someone you can talk to, someone who, a safe space. It's important to have a safe space where you can talk about what you're experiencing without any fear. And that includes therapy, and I think that also includes finding community somewhere, that finding a group of people, whether it's online or it's actually in person. Both is preferable, rather than. But finding a community where you can be yourself, be who you are, and talk about who you are and what you're experiencing without any fear or shame. And that's really, really important, because it's really important not to do this alone. Like, really, really, really important, because I mean, like, just on a purely scientific level, human beings need interaction with other human beings to grow. You know, if we just live life on our own and never engage with anybody else at all, we won't grow. We'll actually kind of probably retreat into ourselves, and that's not good, especially when you've got mental illness. So you need to find community and support, and get therapy as well. I think I'm really a big advocate of therapy. I've never actually, I mean, I count what I've been doing as therapy, even though it's not with like a pure therapist. I mean, my spiritual director is a qualified therapist. So what I have with her is kind of therapy and it's spiritual direction. And I've had a mindset coach as well, which is, you know, another thing. So I count that as therapy. But I think we all need someone who knows what they're talking about. And I know it's expensive. I know it's a problem. It shouldn't be expensive. I'm really passionate about that. I can't afford to have therapy myself. I think it's wrong that you shouldn't be able to get it. Mental illness is serious. It's not any less an illness or any less of a problem than physical illness. You know, and we should,
right.
We're lucky in the UK that we have the NHS, so we get healthcare for free, basically. But even here, you know, you have to pay for therapy. You have to. There's a certain amount of therapy you can get for free, but it's not the consistency that you kind of need. And so, I would tell people to find community, find a support network, find a safe space where you can talk about what you're experiencing without any fear, because that will get you through when things are difficult. People you can reach out to when you're having a bad day, you know. Who you can connect with or message or whatever, and not just one person, because if we just depend on one person, then that's a drain. It's a huge drain on them, but also, you know, all of us have lives, so we're not always around. So if you have a network, right, of people, then you can connect with one of those people when things are difficult. But
that's what I was just going to say. It's important for you to keep an open mind when you're seeking help or when you're reaching out to someone for help, because you never know what's happening in that person's life, or if even a professional therapist, if they're going to be a good fit for you. You don't know until you go there and talk to them. So you have to keep an open mind and realize that, okay, this one's not right for me. I'm not feeling it, and move on to the next. But it's so hard not to get frustrated and down on yourself about the situation. And especially if you're reaching out to people on social media, they may not see your message.
Yeah.
And you might not get the feedback that you want or need, and it might make you more depressed. So you really have to have a network in place that you know is going to be there for you in the hard times.
Yes, I agree completely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, aside from your podcast and your book that you're working on, what's next, James? Anything else down the pike that you got lined up that you're kicking around?
Well, I'm recording new interviews for my podcast for the new year. I'm obviously working on the book. I think one thing I really want to do more of is speaking. I think doing the podcast is kind of given me a curiosity about being in front of people, and as an introvert, I actually prefer speaking in front of people than like general chit chat, social interactions. Like, I have social anxiety a little bit as well, you know. So rather than being at a big party talking to 20 people about what they're doing, what they did that day, or whatever. Because that just wears me out, and I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, there could be some opportunities that come up next year. I'm kind of talking to people about those now and seeing what they are. So that's something that I want to explore. And I don't know whether it will happen. It may not happen at all, but it's something that I'd like to explore a bit more, because doing a podcast is good. I think it's helped me to develop my conversation skills, actually, because, you know, being an introvert, I wasn't so good at conversation before.
Right.
I'm also better at being interviewed now that I do a podcast as well. But I think it's also given me, like, an enjoyment of speaking about things that I care about. And so I kind of want to follow that and see where that goes.
Very exciting.
Yeah, well, tell us how folks can get a hold of you on social media. We're going to have to wrap up soon, but let us know about your social media links.
Yeah, on social media, on Twitter, I'm at James Prescott 77.
Two T's.
Yes. P-R-E-S-C-O-T-T. So at James Prescott 77, that's my Twitter handle. That's also my Instagram handle as well.
Okay.
On Facebook, I think I'm James Prescott Writer. I think that's what it is. I always forget. I think it is James Prescott Writer. Yes, James Prescott Writer on Facebook. And there's also a Pay for the Poema podcast. Poema Podcast has its own Twitter account, which is at Poema Podcast. You can find my work at jamesprescott.co.uk. And the podcast is on iTunes, it's on Spotify, it's on anywhere you get podcasts, basically. And it's also on Podbean at jamesprescott.podbean.com. If you want to read my last book is on Amazon. It's called Mosaic of Grace, and it's on Amazon. You can get that. It's a book about grace and what that is and what it means for us and how it's important for transformation and healing and things like that. So that's kind of my work. I do connect with me on social media because I will reply. I love talking to people on social media and making new friends. So, yeah.
Right.
All righty.
Well, thank you so much for being on with us, James.
That flew by.
Yeah, it did. And it was it was a great conversation. And by all means, once the book is out, let us know so we can get you back on.
And thank you.
Stay on the line and so we can say a proper goodbye.
Absolutely.
And this is you're going to be listening to If I Could by James Cobb. We will see you guys next week for our big, huge bunch
extravaganza.
Of extravaganza, bunch of people show. Have a great weekend, everybody.
If I could, I'd make every day a beauty, every day a wonderful hello for you. If I could, I would give you everything, anything to make you whole. If I could, I would wash away the tears of all your sorrows and make them disappear. Just allow me in your heart, and you'll know what love can be. Now the world can make you feel happy, or the world can make you feel alone. It's difficult to understand that when we're here, I would find a way to tell you how important that you really are. You see, you'll always be that breath of spring. That's why people love you so. I can't believe it's true that I'm talking to you. If I could, I'd make every day a happy day, every day so beautiful, you know, that if you would let me kindle in your heart, let me stoke the fire that feeds your soul. I can't believe it's true that as I'm out of my mind. could, I'd make every day a beauty, every day a wonderful hello for you. If I could, I would give you everything, anything to make you whole. If I could, you know I would. If I could.
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.